We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back off to Rometty. Played over now to Carlton. And in the corner, here's a cross from McCann. That's put in for an own goal! And the soccer gods have evened things out here in the 26th minute. A cross by Chris McCann is put in for an own goal.
Mike Connie on Sports Radio 92.9. The game yesterday as Atlanta United knocked off the Chicago Fire 2-1. Goals from Escobar and McCann. And Atlanta United hangs on. Boy, Joseph Martinez must have had five chances on goal, point blank, it seemed, to score in that game. And couldn't quite get one in. The game really should have been 5 or 6 to 1, but as it turns out, 2 to 1 will work for the five stripes for the moment. So one game to go, Hugh. One last regular season game.
That's it.
They'll be in Toronto this coming Sunday, and they have a 1-point lead because the Red Bulls won yesterday over Philadelphia. Atlanta United beats Toronto, and they will win the Supporters' Shield and be the number one team in Major League Soccer. So you just got to win, and you're in. You control your own destiny.
One game left in the season,
and yes,
then everything else is still up in front of you.
Right? They could tie and lose and still be number one if the Red Bulls tie or lose. But the last thing in the world you want to do is, you know, count on somebody else. You might as well just go out and win it yourself.
That's what I always say, John. You always want to keep your own. You want to control your own destiny. You want to be a master of your own destiny.
And another sellout yesterday, 70,000 plus at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And a record set by Atlanta United for attendance in Major League Soccer. What an amazing, amazing start it's been. Mike Connie joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline, the man of many hats. Morning to you, Mike.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Mike, if you can't explain to me, what does it mean to be in the Champions League?
So, long story short, you know, they have this in Europe, they have this in South America, they have this in Africa, where you know, nations that belong to a confederation will send their top club teams into a annual tournament where they'll play each other in a group stage usually, and then they'll go into a knockout round. So Atlanta United's confederation in North and Central America is called CONCACAF.
Mm-hmm.
And by qualifying for the CONCACAF Champions League yesterday, essentially what it means is they're going to be thrown into a tournament starting in February of 2019, against the best teams from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, United States, and Canada. Atlanta United qualified in a little bit of a different way this year. It's not always going to be this way, but for this year only, they took the MLS club that had the best combined record over a two-year period, and that's something that Atlanta United clinched yesterday. That qualifies them to participate in this tournament. So it's a really cool opportunity. The winner of the CONCACAF Champions League advances to something called the FIFA Club World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you get there, and no MLS team has ever done that, but if you get there, then you're playing the winner of the Champions League. Then you're playing the South American club champion. You're playing the Asian club champion, the African club champion. So you could have, in theory, Atlanta United against Real Madrid, or Atlanta United against Arsenal or Manchester United or something like that, which is something that I think they really, really want to have happen one day. They want to prove and test themselves against the top clubs in the world, and this is the first step towards being able to do that.
Well, and then first things first, and that will be exciting for next year, but you've got to win the Supporters' Shield now. There's an MLS Cup to be won, and you control your own destiny. Boy, yesterday could have been a rout, and they just couldn't quite finish yesterday with Joseph on a number. Literally, Joseph could have had four goals in the game.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, to be totally honest with you, this game yesterday had me really, really nervous. Really nervous, because you didn't have Almiron, you didn't have Villalba, and I think a lot of people, a lot of Atlanta United supporters were just counting this as an automatic win because you're playing the Chicago Fire. What a lot of people didn't realize is that Chicago Fire has played a lot better over the last month because finally, for the first time this year, they're fully healthy. And if you look at their roster, know, their level of talent, it's hard to figure how they're only 10th place in the Eastern Conference because they have some really nice players. Demian Nikolic won the Golden Boot last year. Alexander Katai is a great player. Matt Polster, finally healthy, finally saw him for only the second time this year yesterday as a sub. So I felt this was kind of a trap game for Atlanta United without Almiron and Villalba. I like the fact that they got a win without those two. You are correct. I mean, Joseph had a chance at a couple goals, so maybe the scoreline was a little bit misleading. But, you know, the expected goals for Atlanta United, not counting the own goal, you know, that statistical metric of expected goals is well under two, which is not typically where Atlanta United plays on the season. So definitely not their best game, not by any stretch. Hopefully you get Almiron and Villalba for Toronto this weekend. I think you're going to need them because I think you need to win this game in Toronto. I don't think a draw will do it because Red Bulls are playing Orlando, and, well, we all know about Orlando.
Right, exactly. Mike Honey joining us. One more question on United, and then we'll talk a little Falcons with him tonight. Actually, it's not really so much a question. It's just kind of what you and Jason Longshore are going to do for stoppage time tomorrow at Fadeau from 7 to 8 with it streamed live on our Facebook page. Great chance for the fans to come out to Fadeau between 7 and 8 and watch the show.
Yeah, really excited about this. And we're going to be doing this every Tuesday night through the end of the Atlanta United season. And you're right, it'll be Jason and I at Fadeau and Buckhead, and we'll be streaming it on Facebook Live. But we really hope you'll come out in person because we're going to have a guest every week from Atlanta United, either a player or someone else from the club. We're going to visit with people who do other Atlanta United podcasts. Kelly Francis of the Unrelegated podcast, who's a great Atlanta United supporter and a really, really knowledgeable fan. Can't wait to have her on with us tomorrow. So we'll kind of tap into the passion that the community has for this club. We're going to take your questions at Fadeau. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we've been very proud to do this down on our 8-4 studios for the better part of a year. Now we're taking it out to Fadeau, and we really hope that people will join us tomorrow night from 7 to 8.
So technically, Mike Conte, with this Champions League, with qualifying for this Champions League, we could have an extended soccer season if they take it a long way.
Oh, no, it's going to be extended no matter what. Absolutely. I mean, they're going to start playing CONCACAF Champions League games in February. So whereas, you know, we had some preseason matches last year in Nashville and Charleston, they'll still play some preseason matches, but really the CONCACAF Champions League is going to take up a big part of that preseason. So absolutely, Hugh. I mean, right after the Super Bowl, you could have Atlanta United against a team from Liga MX at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in a CONCACAF Champions League match.
Wow.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
That would be bananas. That would be bananas.
Yeah, that will be fun.
To have international teams here potentially at the end of football season.
Right. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. MLS record for – final thing, actually. MLS record for attendance in a year and over – your tweet yesterday, Mike, about over a million soccer fans. Who would have ever thought that?
Can you believe that? I mean, that's just absolutely incredible. Now, that also counts the MLS All-Star Game and U.S. Open Cup, and you could have three more matches, so you could be getting well over 1.2 million by the time it's all said and done. I think the thing that is really crazy to me is, you know, 900,000 total season attendance. That exceeds all 30 NBA teams, all 31 NHL teams, all 32 NFL teams, and even a Major League Baseball team. And remember, Major League Baseball has 81 home dates. The 53,000 average exceeds the Braves per game attendance, the Hawks per game attendance. So, look, I know it's an apples and oranges comparison, but we've got an MLS club in Atlanta that's being supported at least the same level, if not more, than the four major traditional stick and ball sports in this country, which is an amazing testament to not only what Arthur Blank has constructed here, but look, I think we can finally put to bed now the bad sports town narrative for Atlanta. And you know, some people were tweeting at me last night, oh, the numbers will fall, they'll come back down to earth. I don't think so. I think this is totally different because this club is being embraced by everyone in Atlanta, transplants and natives, and it's a little bit different than what we see with the Hawks, Braves, and Falcons. So it's going to have staying power, but it's an amazing testament to Atlanta United supporters. Just a tremendous job well done, and the best part is we aren't even done yet for this year.
All right, let's get to the Falcons here. Blackout tonight, another huge crowd, and the Falcons seeing everybody in the NFC South win yesterday because all the teams they played choked. And so, you know, this is a case where, you know, suddenly this becomes, I know every game's important, but, man, you look around and see what happened and go, guys, we got to win this game. We don't have a choice.
Yeah, I think even if the Saints, Bucks, and Panthers had all lost yesterday, you'd be looking at it very much the same way. There's a big difference going into the bye at 3-4 than 2-5. You go into the bye at 3-4, you're 3-2 in the NFC and 2-1 in your division. You're fine on all tie breaks. You get that bye where hopefully you can get a little more healthy. And then, you mean, you play Washington and Cleveland and Dallas, which I don't think is necessarily a murderer's row coming out of the bye. So you have a real chance to set yourself up for a possible run post-bye if you get a win tonight. But I don't think this is going to be easy, guys. I think, again, the Giants, kind of a team that's being taken for granted a little bit. I really worry about Saquon Barkley against a defense that has been inconsistent with their tackling this year. Now, on the other hand, this might be a good chance for the Falcons to get their pass rush on track. Eli Manning has already been sacked, I think, 20 times on the season, on pace for by far the most sacks in a single season in his long career. It really helps to get Grady Jarrett and Derek Shelby back tonight. I think this is going to be a very good game. I think this is one that will probably go down in the final possession, and sadly, that's going to keep us all awake until about midnight tonight.
What are your keys to the game for the Falcons to win this game, Mike Hunt, if I might ask you that right now?
Yeah, like I said, got to finish the tackles. I've seen Saquon Barkley for 3 years at Penn State, my all-time favorite Penn State player. So I've watched this guy very, very closely. You think you've got him down, and you don't. Trust me. I mean, it's going to take a team tackling effort tonight. I'm sure Marquand Manuel's been scheming pretty hard for this, but that is something that I think is just absolutely vital. You've got to finish your tackles tonight. And then offensively, I think you've got to try to stay balanced if you can. And the one thing I think you have to give Sark credit for, especially last week in the Tampa Bay game, is that for the most part, they managed to stay balanced. They had a commitment to Ito Smith and a commitment to Tevin Coleman. There's no reason to not be committed to the run because Devontae Freeman is out. So those are my two big keys tonight. But, man, I really, really worry about the tackling. That's what stands out to me the most tonight, because Saquon Barkley is capable, as he did last Thursday in a loss against Philadelphia, to have like 30-some touches in the run and pass game with 200 total yards. You get that tonight, it's going to be trouble for the Falcons.
Yeah, well, and of course, you know, you're getting Sanu and Ridley back and the weapons they have on offense. This feels a lot like the offense we had in the Super Bowl run in terms of the ability to score at will if they want to. And there's no reason for us to believe that won't continue tonight, Mike.
No, and I think the big key there is you really have the consistent play from the tight end now, which is something you didn't have last year. I agree with you, John. This feels a lot more like 2016 because you had Hooper and Tammy. I think that was the year where four different tight ends caught a touchdown pass over the course of the season.
Right.
I mean, the way that Hooper has emerged now is a consistent, reliable target over the last 2 weeks, 9 catches in each of the last 2 weeks. To me, that's huge because now Matt Ryan feels comfortable on checkdowns. And he's becoming a red zone target, too. So I think that's been enormous. One of the more underrated stories of the year for the Falcons. We talked so much about the injuries, and that's a huge story, but the emergence of Austin Hooper, I think, has added another dimension to this offense.
Well, Mike, we'll see you tonight. Thanks for jumping into the program. And again, I want to promote not only the Bud Light you know, countdown to kickoff tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but again, tomorrow, 7 to 8 at Fadeau with you and Jason Longshore for Stoppage Time Live at Fadeau Irish Pub in Buckhead.
Man, I'm losing track of all the live appearances I'm going to be doing over the next 7
hours.
Man,
I hope you're making cash.
Them checks must be lovely.
But, yeah, it'll be Hugh and I tonight at the AT&T Perk, 6 o'clock. And, Hugh Douglas, your thoughts?
Yes, Mike Conte, I'm ready to go. Thanks for telling me it's at 6, too, because I thought I didn't know what time it was.
It is a blackout tonight. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Do appreciate it.
You got it, guys. See ya.
All right, here's a good one. Here's a little secret. We got a chance for you to win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
secret. S-E-C-R-E-T. Secret. S-E-C-R-E-T.
Do they still make secret deodorant? That's the first thing that came to mind.
I think so. Wendy, do they still make secret?
Yes, John, they do.
Okay.
It is an option.
All right. I wasn't sure. I just had to check.
Yes, it's an option.
Secret to 72881. Secret to 72881.
For some, it's a necessity, though. Just want to put that out there. She said, when she says, she's talking about like the choices that you make, but okay. some Some people, it's a necessity.
Are you trying to tell me something?
John, if you're wearing secret, then something. You're not sharing with the rest of us.
Yes, there is.
No.
A guy wearing secret. No.
Women's deodorant sometimes works better, just saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But if you're wearing it, only time I wear it if it's a necessity, like if I don't have mine.
Then it would be a secret.
Yeah.
Secret to 72881. Message data rates apply. Do not text to drive. 929thegame.com for rules. What? I mean, come on now. I mean, it's true.
It's all the same. And you probably
no, it's not. Secret is not. It's not all the same. Our pH is not the same as yours.
Yeah,
it's not. It's not.
If you can't make the game tonight, and you happen to be in the kind of northeast quarter of town, the official watch party will be at 7:15 at Hometown Grill, which is off Hog Mountain Road in Flowery Branch, exit 12 there, Spout Springs and Hog Mountain. Hometown Grill, ton of Falcons prize giveaways. Freddie the Falcon, Falcons cheerleaders. And Josh Vaughn, Falcons alumni, will be there on site at the Hometown Grill on Hog Mountain beginning at 7:15 in Flowery Branch for the official watch party of the Falcons and the New York Giants. It is a blackout tonight. Coverage starts from Mercedes-Benz Stadium at the top of the hour with Rick and John. But next, Howard Cross, former tight end and now sideline reporter of the New York Giants on the Big Blue. What he has to say, he'll join us live. It is the Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Morning Show with John and Hugh. This hour of the show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. The countdown to kickoff begins live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium at the top of the hour with Rick and John through Dukes and Bell, Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Then, of course, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff at 6:15 tonight with Hugh Douglas and Mike County. And then the call of the game, 8:15 kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium West Dave. John Michaels on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We welcome into the show on the WaitForIt.com hotline, a man that many Giants fans in our audience will remember, and a lot of Alabama fans will remember.
I remember Howard Cross myself.
Yeah, I remember him in Alabama playing out there with them Crimson Tide. Howard Cross joins
us. Guys?
What's going on, Howard? How you doing this morning?
Very good. And you guys?
Pretty good. Cannot complain. You know, I want to ask you, Howard, how did the Giants players – take to some of the comments that Odell Beckham Jr. Made when he was sitting down with Josina Anderson?
I don't think it was a big deal to the players. I think it was more of like the media. We made a big deal out of it, but the guys didn't really care. They knew they were playing bad, and he was just saying it out loud.
Well, yeah, and he did get kind of called out there by the owner, too. And when John Merrick comes up and does that, what's the dynamic right now? Howard Cross, take us inside what's going on kind of internally with the Big Blue. Are they unsettled still?
I think they're playing bad. I think, you know, the comments and what we are doing out here with microphones and comment about what they're doing, what we think they're doing in the locker room or whatever, doesn't do anything. They're just playing bad. I mean, they're struggling with the offensive line. It looks bad. Eli's getting hammered, and everybody's talking about, well, maybe he's too old, maybe he's through this, he's through that, but he's getting killed almost every play. Even when he gets a good completion downfield, he's still getting up off his back. So they're having a hard time. I mean, Saquon is doing magical things because he has to do magical things. When he dodges one guy coming to him, hitting him in the backfield to jump over a guy to start his run, those things aren't supposed to be what happens in the NFL. But as you look at the landscape, how many teams have great offensive lines or good offensive lines? It's just, someone once said they don't grow on trees. They really don't.
You know, with that being said, I know that, you know, part of the problem is the offensive line. But, you know, to us that actually watch the game, but on the outside looking in, are there people talking about potentially moving on from Eli or wishing that they would have taken a quarterback in the first round in New York?
No, they're not wishing they would have taken a quarterback in the first round. I mean, if you look at it for what they have in front of, I mean, and, you know, the guys know that they're all struggling. So if you look at it, name a quarterback you could have put in the game right now around the league that could stand up back there. Yeah. You just can't.
So yeah. If you
draft a guy and put him in that situation, he'll be shell-shocked before he starts learning how to play in the NFL.
Howard Cross, former Giants tight end, sideline reporter for the Giants, joining us on the Wade Ford .com hotline. You mentioned Saquon Barkley. I mean, he is, Howard, a special player. You just talk to me about, because you've been able to watch him all year. I mean, you knew he was going to be great coming out of Penn State. I mean, but is he that kind of like elite guy that you Now, I don't want to, you know, throw that once in a generation kind of guy on him, but boy, is he that kind of, you know, special talent that you go, wow, I didn't think he was this good.
Well, he reminds me a lot of Barry Sanders. The angles that he cuts on, the way he falls back, he takes a loss, he'll take a loss, and all of a sudden he'll break one for 20. He'll take a loss, he'll break one for 60, and it's just, you just aren't prepared for it, and guys aren't prepared for it. I thought, like, maybe he's dancing too much. Like, maybe he's dancing too much or something. Then all of a sudden I realized he's just dodging guys that are getting free, and if you don't get him or get your hands on him, he will run past you, and you'll be chasing him. He's pretty special. The cuts he makes in traffic, it's just ridiculous.
You know, I know you've had a chance to, you know, look at this player that I'm about to ask you about, Odell Beckham Jr., for a while. Is he more like a prima donna, like that old school receiver that you know, is a me kind of guy, or is he just very passionate about the game of football?
I think it's funny because, you know, they show him all the time, either banging his head against something or screaming. If anyone notices, he's not talking to anyone. He's just screaming. But the camera follows him. So I think that's probably the most amazing thing of all. He's not in the face of players. He's not in the face of his quarterback or screaming at coaches. He's just kind of out there screaming. Guys are kind of like, you know, looking at the next play or whatever. He's just really, really passionate about wanting to win and wanting to get after it. And it's, you know, that's who he is. I think when we watch it, you know, I'm not defending him. I'm just like, if he was screaming at players, it'd be a big deal. If he was out there trying to get in the face of guys and yelling and screaming, look, you see some of the, you know, guys in the past have done at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. That's just not what he's doing. He's just out there standing in the middle of the field, screaming at the field, like, man, look, he really wants to make a play. He really wants to get involved. He really, you know, when he's catching the ball and on, what do you call it, outs or standing on the sideline with the wide receiver screen or something, he wants to be in motion, going down the field, catching slants, going deep or something. He doesn't want to be catching the ball in the backfield trying to make something happen, but that's where the offense is right now.
Talking with Howard Cross, former Giants tight end, part of the broadcast team for the Giants for the game tonight between Atlanta and New York. As you look on the defensive side of the football for the Giants, they've been okay. They haven't been great, but they've been okay. Now they're going to go up against a Falcons team that is going to be healthy. Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley going to be joining Julio Jones. What is the what is kind of the game plan for Pat Shurmur's defense to try and this Atlanta team, Howard, you would admit, is pretty high-powered.
Yeah, I mean, the only chance they have to get after Matt Ryan, and unfortunately, they're getting pressure, but they're not getting a lot of sacks. You know, with Vernon coming back, maybe they'll get more sacks. They get more pressure on the quarterback, making him have to throw the ball out of different angles and through different windows. You got a shot. But if you don't get to him, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a high-scoring game.
You know, when I look at this defense for the New York Giants, not a whole lot of names that I recognize readily. So who would you say, Howard, is the best defender for the New York Giants up front right now?
Up front is easily Damon Harris. Damon Harris, you know, Snacks is pretty much unstoppable when he comes up there. They don't really run against him. He knocks guys off the ball. He's you know, he's very gifted with his hands and leverage. Does a great job. You know, he just doesn't sack quarterbacks. But if you're running, it's hard to get around him. And then the secondary, you look at, you know, Landon Collins is probably the guy, you know, the Bama guy, who has made great strides every year to try to get better. And those are the two guys that are kind of the bell cows on the defense.
Yeah, we're talking with Howard Cross about the New York Giants. And Howard, one of the things I want to take you back, you and I were talking about this earlier this week and late last week when we were starting to look ahead to this Monday night game. We noticed it back, take you back a couple of years ago to the playoffs right before the Green Bay game and the much talked about, you know, trip down to Florida and when they got on the boat. But ever since they get down on the boat and kind of took that little mini vacation before the Packers playoff game, this team is 3-20. 3-20. What exactly? Yeah. What has, I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, you had a change of coach, you've had some injuries, you've had some attrition, but what in the world happened to the New York Giants over the last, say, year and a half now, or year, almost year and a half, that put them in this position? Was there one thing you could put your finger on?
Well, you know, it's not one thing. I think people don't realize if you look back at the team and try to figure out who's on the team, you look at the draft picks for the team, and I don't like to blow people up and everything, but I love the old GM, but if you look at the draft picks on the team from 2011 to now, I think there are three players on the team that the team drafted. I think it's like Eli Apple, Shepard, and Odell. And outside of that, they don't have anybody they drafted except for the draft class of this year. If you don't have a team that you built a base around to grow, and they're not there, then you're constantly trying to grab and pick and pull guys to make them, you know, to build a team. You need to have a core group of guys that you went out, scouted, picked. They're going to be there. They're going to be a part of your culture. They're going to have some stake, some skin in the game, so to speak. It's hard to build a team by picking and, picking guys up and trying to move them from other teams to bring them over. A lot of times you're not getting the guy that the other team wants. You're getting the guy like, okay, well, if he's going to move, he can move. And if you want to pay him, pay him. We're not going to pay him. So if a team's not going to pay a guy and they let him go, there's usually a reason for that. Not everybody gets priced out of their team.
Howard,
kind of what they're dealing with.
Yeah, I totally understand. Yeah, they've really fallen on a little bit of hard times, and hopefully for our Falcons, I hate to say we hope that continues tonight, but we kind of need this win too. Howard, do appreciate your taking a few minutes. We look forward to the battle tonight at Mercedes-Benz.
You the man, Howard. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
You too.
All right, Howard Cross joining us on the WayFord.com hotline this morning. Yeah, that is, I can see what he's saying. You know, they just didn't draft well over the last 6 or 7 years. This is why that draft is so important. And, Hugh, you don't have to just win at the top of the draft. You got to win. Where you win drafts is rounds 3, rounds 4, round 5, where you find those guys like Grady Jarrett or, I know that Devontae's injured now, but Devontae Freeman, you find those guys that become staples of your team. You know, down 200 picks into the draft, you find guys.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the first, maybe even the second round, those are no-brainers. It's those diamonds in the rough that you have to find where you have to really do your due diligence to help find those guys that are going to be staples of your team and help stick and stay and be the meat and potatoes to your organization. Mm-hmm. You know, those first-round draft picks, those are supposed to be the ones that everybody gets right, for the most part, and the second-round draft picks. But it's those fifth round picks, seventh round picks, guys like that you really have to do your homework to find out who these guys are.
Yeah, we're talking about the Falcons and the Giants, and again, lay of the land tonight. It is a blackout. Wear black if you're a Falcons fan. Do not wear blue, whatever you do. So wear black for the game. Our coverage begins at the top of the hour with Rick and John from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, then Dukes and Bell, then the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, then Hugh and Mike Connie, host of the...
You gonna wear your jersey tonight? You gonna wear your jersey?
This new one I got, the Ryan jersey?
Yeah, you're gonna make a Matt Ryan jersey.
Yeah, I might have to.
That'd be cute.
Well, you're not going to wear yours, right?
Not at all.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Right, I wear a black shirt, though. I will, in honor
of the blackout.
And respect for the Atlanta Falcons, I will wear a black shirt.
Well, you should probably wear a black coat, too. It's temperatures between 53 and 55 at game time. Remember, the roof is open tonight. So take a light jacket. The roof is open for the game tonight between the Falcons and the New York Giants. When we get back, we'll venture into and check in on some of the other stories we may have missed on what is a very busy Falcons Monday in the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium will be the home for Super Bowl 53, February 3rd, 2019.
Hey, let's get this thing popping, man!
The Super Bowl in Atlanta plays here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh boy, have we had some shakeups in our pick six, John Fricke, and I'm talking directly to you because you went out on a limb on a lot of games.
You know, I stood at the end of the craps table, okay? And I tried to roll, like double deuces on four all day long. Hard way. It just didn't work.
But this weekend, John, you really went too far.
I did probably go
out of
too far.
On the limb because you have fallen, my friend, in the standings. So let me just tell you where you guys fell this weekend because I have to say a big congratulations to one Hugh Douglas and one Arthur Trish because you guys were a perfect 7-0.
Seriously?
This weekend. Perfect 7-0.
I didn't think I went 1-6.
I just knew I picked something wrong. Yeah.
That was a very quiet laugh over there.
You know, I will say, though, I know I'm congratulating me, AT, but I went undefeated twice, though. I just want to put that out there.
And you also had an 0-6.
You also had an 0-6.
Hey, that too.
Myself and Daryl, we finished the weekend at 6-1. And John.
1-6?
Oh, no, you did a little bit better than that. You finished 3-4.
Oh, I thought I was 1-6.
Oh, no, but this is where it gets bad. So AT still in first place at 36-14. Daryl has now taken over second place, John.
Good for him.
31-19.
Sprite's going to him.
We have a tie at 3. Hugh Douglas has caught up with you, John Fricke.
Yeah,
y'all are sitting at third, 30-20, and I'm not far behind now, 27-23. Ooh. So we are going to be fighting to the finish.
Right, oh, yeah, and tonight, yep, tonight we got that a big pick tonight.
Right. So who are you picking tonight?
Are you asking me all that?
Oh, yeah,
we should.
We need to make our
picks.
We have
to pick the game. No, yes. This is going to count.
No, we don't pick them up. We don't do that.
Oh, yeah, we do.
No. Yes, we do.
Yes,
well,
we
I'm
do.
Picking the Falcons.
Why y'all putting pressure on me like this? Well, we know you picking the Falcons, and you and Wendy, so that's two of them. But why are we putting pressure like that?
Right,
why
we do this every week.
We have to pick the Falcons.
But the Falcons didn't play yesterday. So
right, they play tonight, so we do this every week.
I'm being apprehensive about this pick because you know I've been picking
bad. I'll go first.
Well, we know
you just went 7-0.
It don't matter.
Hugh, you just went 7-0. You should have
confidence today. And this might mess up my perfect record.
No, this is a standalone. It doesn't have anything to do with
okay, it's standalone?
Yeah.
But see, this is the problem.
But it counts.
Because most people don't want me to pick the Falcons because every time I
get nervous. We get nervous when you pick the Falcons here.
So I should be. I should have to.
Who did you pick last week?
I picked the Falcons.
No, you picked the Bucks.
I didn't pick the Bucks.
Yeah, you picked the Bucks to win. So why don't you just?
My mind, I can't remember. I'm confused. Okay, I'm picking the Falcons.
All right, there you go, Wendy. Who are you picking tonight?
Oh, I already told you, John. I'm picking the Falcons.
Arthur, who are you taking?
The Falcons.
And so am I.
Continue to collect.
I think
my
the Falcons are going to win by 10+ tonight.
No, you want to go a step further? Okay. We're not doing that.
Yeah, I'm
That's
not.
That's why
they
call John a habitual line stepper.
I think I will go out on a limb and I say Julio Jones gets in the end zone tonight.
Yeah, that was one of the predictions I was thinking to make it too. I think this is also, I agree with Wendy. Hugh, is this tonight that Julio Jones gets that first touchdown?
Why you got to ask me, John?
I've been picking wrong.
No, I think.
Just answer the question, Hugh.
Julio Jones goes for over 100 yards.
Yes. All right, there you go.
Thanks, Hugh, for your participation.
He's done that probably every game this season.
This is double Bama against Bama.
Right.
Julio and Ridley against Collins.
Interesting.
I don't know if he gets into the end zone tonight. I'm just not confident they can get him. Ridley? Yes. Julio? I don't know.
Let's get in the end zone, Julio.
Yeah, right.
Well, kind of a scary situation over the weekend. Police said 30 people were injured when a Florida apartment clubhouse collapsed during a party on homecoming weekend in Clemson, South Carolina.
Wow.
No individuals were trapped during the collapse, and no one suffered life-threatening injuries. However, there were people that were being sent to area hospitals with broken bones and lacerations. There's video all over social media on this. It shows pretty much the floor just opening up, like something you would see out of a horror movie, really. People were jumping up and down, partying to some music because it is homecoming weekend, and then the floor just gives way underneath them, and people just go falling down.
Somebody said it was probably some of those Omegas, Alphas, Sigmas. There was a bunch of people dancing or stepping, maybe.
Yeah, they were at an off-site location, and it seemed just from the naked eye that there may have been too many people in the building.
It was a terrifying sight. And as a parent, you immediately think to tell your kids, when the party's packed like that, don't go. But you know that's probably the worst thing you could probably say because they're going to go to the party anyway. And plus, a lot of homecomings. Everybody's having their little homecoming weekends coming up. So, yeah, a lot of the house parties. Just be careful. I mean, as a parent, that's the only thing I can probably say to you. Just be careful and know that most floors aren't built to handle 300-plus people in one area at one time. They're not built for that.
It is scary. The building, the apartment complex that they were in was built in 2004, so it's not – like it's a crazy old building, so the fact that the floor was able to give way so easily is kind of alarming.
Yeah, just looking at that video, that is frightening.
Yes, it's kind of. I mean, we've seen incidents where porches have collapsed and
right decks
kind of
have
thing.
Collapsed.
That's
right, we had a bad deck collapse a few years ago. Right, yeah. Wow, that is horrifying.
Well, Hugh, I know you're a fan of Halloween. You went to a Halloween party last year. Are you going to Halloween parties this year?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think I'm
so you're not dressing up, so you don't have a costume this year.
I don't have a costume this year.
Well, Google analyzed searches for Halloween costumes. I'll be going to a Halloween party over the weekend, and they found the top 500 things that people are planning to dress up as this year. So we're not going to go through all 500, obviously. We don't have time for that. But we're going to go through the top 10. So at number 10, a princess.
Always.
Number 9, a rabbit. There's really nothing too that stands out this year. I haven't even found a Halloween costume for the first time in forever.
Get one of those nose warmers and you're good.
And those are creepy, John.
They're like a little button.
You have to explain what the nose warmer is. So the nose warmer is a viral product that keeps your nose warm, and it looks ridiculous, but you can Google that. Number 8 is a pirate. Number 7, superhero. Number 6, Harley Quinn is making a return this year.
That's a hot outfit if the right person wears that outfit, though.
Mm. Harley Quinn?
Oh, no, I'm thinking about the chick that was in, I'm thinking about Harley Quinn. Yeah,
the blonde hair with pigtails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it all depends on which one you're wearing, because there's two different outfits that you can wear for Harley Quinn.
You can like old school Harley Quinn
with the dressed up like the
or
Joker.
Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Just depends. Number 5, a witch. Number 4, dinosaur. 3, a unicorn. 2, Spider-Man. And at number 1, who you're going to be so proud of, your gamers, Fortnite is number 1.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of a hard one to pull off.
They
though.
Have costumes. I was in the costume store this weekend, and there's a whole Fortnite section of costumes
where
you don't even make it.
They have Destiny costumes as well. They have costumes for Destiny characters as well. But that's a lot. Like, you're talking about somebody, if you dress up like a Destiny or a Fortnite character, you put a lot of work and a lot of money.
If you didn't just go and buy the costume that came together already.
Yeah.
I'm going to dress up as Matt Ryan. How about that?
Yeah, John, you have your Matt Ryan jersey. You're going to throw that on?
Have at it.
Matt Ryan at 50.
Yeah.
Aww.
Matt Ryan hanging out at his youth football.
You mean the old Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
That would be kind of fun. Old man Matt Ryan. John,
like, Matt, you packed
John
on a few there,
like
buddy.
John doesn't like that.
I'm just saying.
No, hey, I ain't lying.
Everybody put on a few when they retire.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh,
supposed to be ashamed though.
Ain't nothing, hey, man. Yeah, man. Own that, man. You hey, listen. getting old is a luxury that's not afforded to everyone. So enjoy it. Revel in it.
Yes, revel, John. John is not thrilled
he
by this.
Still ain't thrilled.
Nope. And it's gotten uncomfortable. So here, let's do it. Let's do a good story, because Conor McGregor has been in the news for not so good things, but this is something that he did that was good. He visited some firefighters in Boston and gave them a pretty amazing gift. We all know the Dodgers and Red Sox are now set for the World Series. This is the message that he delivered to the firefighters, according to the New York Post. You guys are true, proper heroes. He goes on to say, it's an honor to be here and to see this true, proper fire station. We brought gifts, tickets to the World Series. That's out of respect for you guys. So he arrived at the fire station riding this giant delivery truck with his number 12 whiskey that he's been promoting, signed a couple of bottles for the guys, and then gave them tickets to go check out the Boston Red Sox in the World Series. So a really awesome, classy move.
So that's what it was. He's doing a PR stunt. He's doing some PR stuff. Classy, though. I mean, you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Shout out to Conor McGregor, I guess.
It is a blackout tonight for the Atlanta Falcons, and our live coverage from Mercedes-Benz Stadium starts in 9 minutes with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.